A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of PQRST Parody, Quips, Rants, and Storytelling. In the background, you might be able to hear my six-month-old son. For the record, we had his six-month appointment just yesterday, and he is now in the 27th percentile for weight, where at the two-month appointment he was down to a 1 percentile, so that's fantastic. 16 pounds, 6 ounces, if anybody cares. He's over 2 feet long, and he's in the 28th percentile, and his head circumference is in the 88th percentile, because, well, my boy has a big old head. It's because he needs lots and lots of brains, because he's so smart. So, anyway, this podcast is not currently about him, it's more about me, and I have a rant for you. I am going to be changing my mind, you could even say breaking my word, because last time I promised that this episode would be about the voice recording that I got to do for my church's VBS, but that will be next time, hopefully, probably, because something has happened in between that I want to talk about. So I have a rant, and I also have, I don't know, word of encouragement and caution. So here's the first thing. A friend of mine, who is a comic, recently was in a show in downtown Denver, and the show was recorded. He was not the headliner. He was one of the middle comics. Did 10 minutes and everything. Had himself a good time. And the show was supposedly, professionally, video recorded because the show's producers wanted to edit everything together and submit it to Netflix so that it could go up, hopefully, on that site. And I honestly don't know what their chances were. I've never looked into it. I feel like all the comedy that I see on Netflix is pretty much bigger names and single performer shows. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a comedy show on Netflix where you see the opener and then the feature and then the headliner. It always seems to be just the marquee name. But who knows what would have happened? Because this one probably is not going to go up on Netflix because the quote-unquote professional video recording service, I haven't seen or heard the footage. I just have my friend's word for it, but I had no reason he would have to deceive me on this. The professional videographers apparently did a great job recording the comics on stage, but failed entirely to get any sound out of the audience. And that's not how I want to say that. The comics' job is to get sound out of the audience, and they did a fine job of that. It was a good crowd. 60, 70 people were packed into the basement there at the Voodoo Comedy Playhouse. And, well, it's not a basement, it's on the ground floor. But anyway, the small theater, but it was packed out. The crowd was lively. And yet, the audio that they took in was directly from the microphone, so you can't hear the people laughing. And I hear about this happening over and over and over again. People on the Christian Comics Association on Facebook talk about it. People I've worked with at the Denver Improv talk about it. I gave my card to the owner of Lanny's Clock Tower Cabaret, Lanny herself, when I was down there recording Tammy Hayden's concert back in October, and Lanny said she wanted somebody, a better somebody, to record her next show because the last time they didn't get the audience laughter in there. And so it's something that's common, and it just absolutely blows my mind. Now, because what I do for a living is videography. The comedy thing is, well, I've made like $100. No, that's not true. I was paid $100 for jokes, and I've made like $60 for performing. So, well on my way, but it's not something I've made money at in any real substantial way. But the videography, that's how we pay the bills. So, I am a professional videographer. And hey, I will tell on myself. Oh, dear Lord. There was, God bless, the Fiesta Colorado dance program. They were the first ever dance client I had, and the biggest mistake I've ever made was with them. Now, I've had shoots since. I can think of one dance company in particular where the guy I sent filmed four shows, and neither he nor I knew that the close-up camera was not functioning correctly. It looked like it was just fine until we watched the footage later, and it was unusable. And the wide shot, he had not set it up all that well, so basically those four shows were totally garbage, and that is, well, that's someone, it's kind of laid at someone else's door. The buck stops with me. I'm the one that lost the client, but I wasn't the one doing the recording. That's probably the worst day Ninja Boy Productions has ever had, but for the worst mistake I've ever personally made. I've come close to running out of battery. Arguably, I may have run out of battery like 10 seconds before the end of a show not too recently. Maybe not. Who knows? I forget. I have failed to bring enough tape to record onto for a show and was scrambling to get, you know, tapes. But the worst mistake I've ever made that I can think of is I had one camera, which was the first mistake, for this dance recital. And at that time, I only had the one camera, so what was I going to do? But I had one camera, I had not rented any others, and the very nice sound guy at the Lakewood Cultural Center, Tim Hoffman, who I had worked with many times since, I worked under, because I was a part-timer at Lakewood Cultural Center for a while. Well, this was way back when, and he offered me a feed from the board. Instead of just recording the ambient sound from the room, I could get a feed straight from the soundboard, which I do like having. Here's the big mistake. It wasn't on Tim, and it wasn't on the Lakewood Cultural Center. He gave me the cable. I plugged the cable into the camera. I did not have headphones with me or ask for any or even think to put headphones in so I could check to make sure that the camera was actually recording audio. To this day, I don't know what switch or button was misplaced, or in the wrong place, but there was no audio. Basically, long and the short of it is, I had a really great picture with absolutely no sound. It would be like listening to a mime, which that's another story I'll get into maybe a little later on this podcast. But worst mistake I've ever made. I had to call Jeanette Trujillo and say, this is horrible. I feel just awful. I screwed up. We don't have a show because there was no audio. And nobody wants to sit there and watch dancers in silence unless that is the performance. And this was not. It was a flamenco. You don't have flamenco music, you got nothing. So, I say all that to tell on myself. I am not blameless in this arena. But when it comes to comedy, it doesn't matter how good a shot you have of the comic and how good the audio is of the comic's jokes. If the audience can't be heard, if you don't get the audience's reaction on tape, you've got nothing. And I bring this up because it just amazes me that the Atlantic of Gladys Clock Tower Cabaret mentioned it. Christina Hall with the Denver Improv mentioned it. This show down at the Voodoo, it happened over and over and over and over. I feel like somebody recording at Bovine Metropolis experienced this. So it's one thing if it was like a very hard-to-fix mistake, but it's not. It's the simplest thing in the world. What you do is you have your one really nice camera that's focused on the performer and is getting a feed from the board, directly from the mic. Great. All you have to do is get one more camera. And it doesn't even have to be a $5,000 Sony XD Super Handycamorama. It can be a $100 Handycam. It can be, you know, something you buy at Walmart. But just you need a second camera pointed at the audience and recording so that when they laugh, you get the sound on tape. And then you can include it in your edit. You know, it can be done better. It's nice to have a professional camera pointed at the audience rather than a cheapo one. But even a cheapo one or a little DAT recorder or something is better than nothing. You know, better to have somebody's phone out and hit record on your voice memo and at least get the sound of the audience laughing. Because if you don't have it at all, you don't have a show. And this comedy performance last month at the Voodoo Comedy Playhouse, they don't have a show because the audience's laughter was not recorded. And they're thinking about maybe trying to put canned laughter in there, and power to them. I'm going to get into this more in a minute, but for my money, I feel like I always know when it's post-production laughter, when it's laughter that's been edited in after the fact, and it's a turnoff for me. When I hear laughter that I know is fake or believed to be fake, even if it is real, I'm like, why am I watching this? If the audience didn't laugh, why should I? Before I get to my rant, that was just my public service announcement. Let me re-clarify, just because it's that important. If you are a comic who's going to be recording a show, if you're a video guy who's going to be recording a comedy show, make sure, even if you don't get the audio directly from the microphone the comics are using, get the audience reaction. So if you only have one camera and you can only get one version of the audio, set it up to where it gets the comic and the audience. If you can have two, then you can have two or more, the best of both worlds. But if you can only have one, make sure you get the audience. Because if you don't get what the comic is saying, of course, you don't have a show. But if you don't get the audience reacting, you still don't have a show. You need both of them. Both sides, the same coin. If you don't have both, you are screwed. So take it from me, public service announcement. And if you're out there and you're a comic and you want someone to record your show professionally, feel free to send me an email, videoninja@juno.com. I've worked at the Denver Improv. I've worked at Bovine Metropolis. I've worked at the Voodoo Comedy Playhouse. I filmed last year's Denver Improv Festival, and people hire me back after the first time. And I don't think this company that filmed at the Voodoo last month is going to be hired back. Let's just say it that way. Before I get to my rant, now that I've completed my public service announcement, I told you that having a dance recital with no audio is like having is like listening to a mime. That's not just a random example. This is a favorite story of mine. I read it in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, so it's not something I came up with or that I heard. It's a secondhand thing, but this apparently is completely true. Noted world-famous mime, M-I-M-E, Marcel Marceau, released a record album in, I don't know, the 50s, maybe the 60s. He released an album. Take a moment to think about what I just said. Marcel Marceau, the mime, has a record album out. It's a live performance, and 90% of what you hear is silence. This is a real, I swear I'm not making this up. Marcel Marceau did a performance and they recorded it. So you sit there and what you just heard is what you hear. Nothing, except occasionally the audience bursts into applause. So for like 60, 75 minutes, you are listening to a bunch of people breathing and occasionally applauding, and that's it. And part of why I love this story and the fact that I find hilarious is that the record exists at all. But it doesn't even stop there. The record was a huge seller. Thousands and thousands of people bought it. My guess is, the best I can come up with, is that it was, you know, whatever year it was released, it was the 1966 gag gift of the year that everybody was like, oh my gosh, we got to buy this for Uncle Jerry and he will think it's hilarious. Or we'll buy it for Aunt Lois and not tell her and, you know, wait to see how long it takes her to get the joke. Either way, people bought it by the bushel full. And that just is, this world is so crazy. That's why I love, that was one of many reasons, but one of many reasons why I love this world. We live in a world where a mime can release a best-selling record album. Anything is possible. So anyway, that is my little story after the public service announcement. And now we get to the rant. And it's related to the story, not the mime, well, it's a little related to the mime story. It's related to the public service announcement. I told you that my friend who's recording that they wanted to sell to Netflix, they had no audio. They are thinking about putting in canned laughter. Now, I don't think that's going to work. For my money, it brings a performance down rather than building it up. I guess it's better than nothing if it's the only recording that you're going to have. But I feel like if I hear, I don't like sitcoms from the 60s and 70s, and I think one of the reasons is because canned laughter. When I hear laughter and I know it's not real, it's a turnoff for me. And I can give you an example of one show that went both ways, and it may be the only show that ever did, Sports Night, that Aaron Sorkin wrote and produced, might have been the first big thing he did, at least as far as a sitcom, had two seasons, and the first season, I don't know if they did it all season long, but for at least a significant chunk of the first season, there is a laugh track. And it sucks. It diminishes my enjoyment of the show, but his writing and the performances are so fantastic that I'm willing to overlook it. But by the second season, when they weren't using the laugh track anymore, I enjoyed the show much, much more. And I feel like any show that uses a laugh track is, that's a turnoff for me. Sitcom, comic performance, whatever. If laughter has been put in after the fact, it's a turnoff. And this is cases where people are recording and they're not in front of an audience. Sports Night, for example, there's no live audience watching them do what they do. So if they're going to add laughter, it has to be added in after the fact. Here's my rant. If a person or persons create a comic performance and then it is in the editing room, and it's been done live and it's been done in front of an audience, and then in the editing room they decide, we didn't get the laughs we wanted, we need to add more, those person or persons are being deceitful. I'm sorry. You are lying to people. if you put in applause that was not there on the original recording, unless you say somewhere, you know, in the opening credits, by the way, we added laughter after the fact. Or, you know, like they do with at the end of reality TV shows, where the sequences not affecting the results were edited or cut down for time or whatever. But yeah, if you put text on the screen that says, hey, we added laughter afterwards, okay, then you're being honest. But if you add laughter in post-production in hopes that it will sound like it was recorded live and don't fess up that you did so, you are lying to people. That is deceitful. And the reason I'm ranting about this is because I was recently talking to a fellow comic who is also a Christian person, and we were talking about whether or not I, myself, am going to put a promotional video together, and his suggestion was pick the best 3 or 4 minutes you can, cut it together real tight, add some laughs, and then submit it. So this, again, this is a Christian comic saying just put in some laughter to your edited performance and then put it out there. And maybe I misunderstood him. If I understood what he was saying, and if, you know, what I've represented about adding laughter after the fact is what he's talking about, he is encouraging me to lie. And I am not okay with that. So I'm ranting here. Now, somebody out in the world doing this, it's still not okay. It's still deception, but, you know, I get it. It's like how out in the world, the last three times I bought a vehicle, and the third time was from an actual dealership. Two of the last three times, let me back up. I'm going to get to this point eventually. Every time I can think of that I've bought a vehicle from a private seller, and I can think of at least three times, every time the person I bought the vehicle from was willing to write a different number down on the bill of sale than what I actually gave them. You know, if I paid $3,000 for my Maxima used, the guy was willing to write down $1,500. So that when I go to get my tax title and tags, I'm paying taxes on $1,500 instead of what I actually spent. It happened with the Harley that I bought. Happened with, I can't even think of all of them, but I know at least three times that I can recall. And each one of those times, when I said, no, let's put down the actual amount, the person looked at me like I had two heads. The same way I get looked at when I get my change, count it, and realize I've been given too much, and return some money to the store. People look at me like I have two heads. I get it that the world, it doesn't make sense to be honest, because if you can get away with something, you need all the advantages you can get. In their system, it makes sense. I don't like it, but it makes sense. But for a Christian to say, hey, just add some laughter. Hey, just do this deceptive thing. It really bothers me. And if it doesn't bother this comic, I'm not here to judge this comic. Where they're at, you know, they have to talk to God about that. But for me to do that, I would be lying. And if I am going to go into a situation deliberately lying, deliberately misrepresenting myself, I don't know how I can expect God to bless that. In fact, I know I can't. It's the same way when I was putting out a resume to, what are they called? The talent agencies in town. I asked a friend who is represented by talent agencies, also a fellow comic, don't believe he's a believer, and he gave me some tips and also said, you know, as far as the resume, just make some things up. Again, with the world, I get it. You lie on your resume, chances are nobody's going to ask, it makes you look better, and if you get away with it, then why wouldn't you do it? But as a Christian, if I'm going to lie on my resume, all that's doing, lying on my resume, putting in laughter after the fact, doing anything to say, this is real when I know it's not, what I'm saying is, God, I don't really trust you. I love you. I hope you're with me in this, but I need to take all the advantages I can because I can't trust you. That is what I'm really saying. And I'm not okay with that. So when I put out my resume to the talent agencies, it had on it what was literally true. I do not lie on my resume. When I put out promotional videos, assuming I ever actually finish the one that I have started, I will be, you know, I'm not going to add any laughter in there, even if I knew I could get away with it. I may cut several performances together, but, you know, it's going to be obvious that I have several performances together. If you see me from, you know, at one point I have a Comedy Works logo behind me, and then the next I'm at Solid Grounds Cafe, and the next I'm at Lakewood Cultural Center. You know, it's not like I'm pretending that it's all the same show.
And I can see,
well, for example, with this podcast, you guys don't hear the moments where I stop to cough or where I stop the recording because the dog is barking or so forth. I edit things out that aren't necessary, but hopefully you know that this isn't going out live and that I edit it to make it as good as it can be. I don't feel like I'm being deceptive. But if I hand someone a promotional video or I send someone to my YouTube site and say, hey, watch this 4-minute video, you'll love this, and they listen to laughter that I did not actually receive when I made the recording. And again, I don't say anywhere on there, I added laughs in afterwards to make myself look better or to make the audience sound like they were having more fun, then I'm lying. And if I lie, I'm not trusting God. So that's my rant. A Christian comic would give me that advice so casually. And I worked with somebody on a big project that we wanted to try to sell to a network. The basic premise was going around finding random collections of people, like, say, sitting at an outdoor cafe or so forth, bus stop, whatever. And, hey, suddenly here's a stand-up comic telling you jokes, getting you to laugh. And when we edited that, we put in laughter after the fact. And it was not a case of, oh, the microphone didn't pick up the audience laughter, let's add some. It was, oh, the audience didn't react like we thought they would, let's add some. And I was not okay with that, but I didn't say anything for two reasons. One, because it was we were just trying to sell a pilot idea to a network. It wasn't like we were putting it out for people to pay for. And two, and this is the main reason, I was just the editor. I was involved in the project. I had some, creative input, but I was not the producer. It was not my call. So I kept my mouth shut. But I wasn't okay with doing that. And I'm not okay with doing that. And as far as my own comedy goes, not that it's ever been an issue so far, but if somebody wants to see a promotional video, I will, get them the stuff that I have on YouTube and, or make a DVD for them or whatever. But what I have is what I have. If what I have's not enough, I shouldn't get the gig. And that's what I don't understand about this canned laughter thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to put in laughs that I didn't get to make it look better. Well, if you then get a job, it's like lying on the resume. If my resume is so impressive, I land a job that I can't handle because of the stuff that's on my resume that's not true, sooner or later, that lie is going to be uncovered. It's not like it's going to be okay later to find out that I lied before. And if I get, an opening spot at some club based on a video that's not true, that's a deceptive video, then I have to go and meet an expectation that I don't actually have the ability to meet. So anyway, that's just where I'm at, and that's why I'm not doing anything about the voice recording on this podcast episode, because we're going to wait for that till next time. I wanted to get that off my chest. For those of you out there who would care, and just so that it can be said, because I don't plan to talk to this comic about it. They are where they are at. God bless them. And this, again, is not meant to judge that person. I don't like it. And if they, wanted to know what I thought, I would tell them. But for me, that's deceptive. And I can't do that and expect God to bless me. I want his best for me, but to get his best, you have to go by his rules. It doesn't mean doing things perfectly, but it does mean trusting him. And lying is not trusting God. Stealing is not trusting God. I had a chance, I may have told this story before, I don't know, when I started the video business, I had a chance to get an illegal copy of the editing software I couldn't afford. A friend of mine, who also was a Christian, would have been quite happy to make me a copy that I could use for free, and didn't seem to care that it would be illegal to do so. And I don't know that I said anything, I just said no. I mean, I did say that. I don't know if I gave him a reason why, but it's like, in my mind at least, like, no, if I do that, I'm not trusting God. Either I do this his way, or I don't do it. So that's where I'm at. And I got a baby that looks like he might want some attention, like being in the swing isn't quite working for him anymore. So that is probably it for podcast recording for today. But I did come up with a parody song in the vein of my rant. And let's see if I can remember what I wrote at 5:30 this morning, considering it is now mid-afternoon. Yeah, I lied to you. Yeah, I lied to you, honey. Oh yeah, I said something that wasn't true. I spat in your sugar and I lied to you. That suit does not look good. You were eating too much food. That car you bought goes 210. How fast do you have to go to feel young again? Believe me, you're silly, silly. All right, it's not great. But what do you want for 5:30 in the morning? Especially given that I tried to write something that would relate to the whole Don't Lie to People podcast episode. I guess that's what we're going to call this one. PQRST episode 20 whatever. Don't Lie to People. So, yeah, that's it. Short and challenging, hopefully. Appreciate everybody out there listening. I appreciate the fans, the people that are following the podcast, and next week might be a tad more interesting and have a tad more to do with actual stand-up comedy. So, in the meantime, own the stage that you're on, and have some fun while you're at it, too, which is something I'm working on with my comedy. I forgot about having fun the last couple of years. Not entirely, but way too much, so working on getting that back. So I'm going to work on having some more fun on stage. I'm going to take care of a little 6-month-old boy. And we will both see you later on.